The second Donate Life Capital Celebration is at the state capitol today from 11 o'clock till 2 p.m. with hundreds of donor families on hand to promote organ donation. They'll be joined by transplant recipients and patients still waiting for a suitable donation. There are many examples of donor families bonding with those whose lives were saved by the resulting transplant. Today here on Current State, we're joined by two people whose lives have been linked by just such a gift. In 2003, 20-year-old Chase Coleman of Millington, Michigan, died in a car accident. At the same time, then 50-year-old Terry Gould of Plymouth was awaiting a heart transplant. He's alive today because the Coleman family made the decision to donate Chase's heart. Terry Gould and the brother of the late Chase Coleman, Lon Coleman. Welcome both of you to Current State. It's great to have you here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's start with Terry Gould. Tell us about your condition here 10 years or so ago and why you needed a heart transplant.
Well, it started about 20 years ago. I fell ill, and I had idiopathic cardiomyopathy, and it just progressively got worse until I needed a heart transplant. I went through a couple of different open-heart surgeries. I had an LVAD put in, which helps the heart pump its fluids through, and in 2003, I became so ill I was put in the hospital and waiting for a transplant.
Okay. Lon, take a moment to tell us about your brother. Only 20 years old at the time, athletic from what I'm told. Help us to get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, Chase was a very athletic kid, more charismatic than athletic, I would think. he was kind of the sunshine of the family. He would make everyone laugh, adults and kids alike. I mean, he was just kind of the center of the school, center of the community, just a great kid overall.
And losing him in a car accident must have been quite jarring.
Yeah, I think tragic is an understatement.
Yeah.
It was definitely a defining moment for our family, but it was also one of those things that we're just so happy that something good can come out of something
sure.
That's so tragic. So that's what we try to focus on, but we'd give anything to have him back today.
Yeah. Tell us about the decision to donate Chase's organs. How challenging was that? What was that discussion like in your family?
Well, you can't imagine, and it's very hard to sum up that moment, I guess, in the hospital. From our point of view, we were one of those families that really never thought about organ donation, and it really never come to the forefront of any conversation previous to this type of accident. So we were kind of put in the decision at the hospital that day to make a decision. We were very apprehensive at first. I do remember my father having some serious, second thoughts about something like that. But I think something within him, he made the decision to go forward. He wanted to take his son home. He wanted to take all of his son home. And I can totally understand that mm-hmm. as a father. But the decision was made, and it's been something we haven't even regretted at all since then.
Were other organs besides the heart donated?
Yeah, Chase was able to donate eight organs, but the kidney and pancreas went to one recipient. So seven people were saved the following day by Chase's gifts, and it just happened to be Mother's Day. So it was somewhat fitting, and it's part of another dynamic to our story that's kind of unique.
Tell us a little more about that.
Well, we got back to my parents' house Sunday following the accident, and the nurse called and said that she had stayed with my brother all night long through surgery. He's a hero. He saved seven people's lives. And I still think today that that's probably the most comforting and fitting thing that my mom has ever heard on Mother's Day.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Tell us about you two connecting here a little bit, Terry. How did that happen? Who reached out to whom here?
Well, Lon reached out first. He sent a letter to all the recipients, which goes through the gift of life, and then they transfer it over to us. And it took us a few months to receive the letters, and this was in October when we finally got the okay to transmit some emails. And after that, it was probably in March when we first met of the following year. We met at a restaurant. It was supposed to be just a little family gathering, and I think there was probably 60 or so people between the two families. And it clicked the minute we met.
Yeah. That must have been an emotional moment.
It was. It was very emotional.
You've got this guy's brother's heart
right.
beating inside your body. Was there any hesitation there? I mean,
absolutely. There was for me when I first got to the restaurant. I mean, I was all for it, and I got there, and my biggest apprehension was that a 20-year-old young man gave, you know, his heart to me. And I was a 50-year-old man. And I thought maybe there's a little bit of apprehension, you know, apprehension with the family, saying why didn't it go to a younger, you know, younger man? But I had five kids at the time, and that's what I think was the biggest thing, is that they didn't just give me my life; they gave my kids and my wife a dad and a husband.
Yeah, something else. Were seven or eight separate people benefited by Chase's organs? Then are we talking different people for each one?
Oh yeah, different people for each one. Okay. And there's some miraculous stories of lung recipients passing kidney recipients in the hospital the next day, you know, in recovery, walking the halls together, and they were all there to receive organs from my brother.
We're talking with Terry Gould and Lon Coleman of Millington and Plymouth, Michigan, about the Gift of Life program. Terry Gould received the heart of Lon's 20-year-old brother Chase after he died in an automobile accident 10 years ago. And this is part of the Donate Life Capital celebration going on at the state capitol today from 11 o'clock till 2. Your families get together once in a while, and they've even shared holidays, from what I understand. This is not a one-time meeting kind of thing. This appears to be some kind of bond you've got here.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bond we've got between the families. It's not just a, you know, we get together for certain instances like this, public stuff, but we get together on a personal level. We call each other. We talk. Our families are one. I mean, and that's just the way it is. I still remember the Thanksgiving we spent together. It's a fantastic bond. And, you know, I would put our relationship from a donor family to recipient up against any relationship out there in the country. I mean, it's just, we just have that type of, as a matter of fact, I've been in his house and took ice cream out of his freezer and he wasn't home. So I enjoy that story too.
That is a bond.
That is a bond.
Terry, what, aside from attending events like today's rally at the state capitol, what do you say to people to encourage them to consider organ donation?
I just basically consider myself a walking tribute to how it works. It works, and it's in desperate need of more people to donate.
Waiting lists are, I mean, I always hear waiting lists far exceed the list of donors.
Absolutely.
That has not changed, unfortunately.
No.
Your transplant was 10 years ago. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I feel better than I have in 25 years.
And you've had 10, do you work out?
I swim.
You swim?
Yep,
okay.
I swim, and actually we have, in the transplant world, we have the transplant games that happen every 2 years throughout the United States, the Transplant Games of America, and I participate. Lon comes, family comes, watches, cheers us on at like the...
You swim then?
Yes, I swim. I swam competitively in high school, and after the surgery, you know, after my transplant, I needed something to keep me going and keep me, exercise and keep me in shape, and that's what I did.
For people who have, I think this is the kind of thing that people think about periodically and then conveniently just kind of forget about. I think human nature being what it is, that's kind of how it unfolds for an awful lot of people. For people who have unofficially made the decision to donate their organs but are maybe putting off the first step, what do they do?
I would just go to the local Secretary of State or even the Secretary of State's website, Gift of Life Michigan's website as well. You can sign up there. It's a pretty easy process. It puts you on the National Donor Registry. It's never been easier. With the legislation passed recently in Michigan, the Secretary of State employees are now able to ask you the question if you'd like to be an organ donor. It's very simple to say yes when you renew your driver's license, and that's been a big help here recently.
I have to ask you about the funding. There's so much talk of healthcare and healthcare insurance. Was that a smooth transition for you? Was there enough insurance here to avoid any problems here as far as paying for this?
Well, there's a lot of out of pocket expense, but the insurance did cover quite a bit of it. I was fortunate enough. I was on disability before I went in, so. Medicare picked up some of it, and insurance picked up quite a bit of it. So
okay.
It still had a lot of, you know, quite a bit of out-of-pocket expense, but it was taken care of.
Now, are you still subject to your, you're wearing a button? You're wearing a button of...
That's Chase.
That's Chase.
Yes.
Right over your heart.
Right.
Okay, I just noticed that right
yep.
now. That's a beautiful thing. Are you still subject to the condition then that you the myopathy that you contracted 20 years ago?
No, not at all.
With Chase's heart, that is really no longer an issue.
No.
There's nothing genetic about this situation where you might recontract this situation.
No.
Okay. And you are both down at the Capitol with how many people today? Do you know?
Supposed to be thousands of people
yeah.
on the steps to join in the celebration.
Outstanding. Well, we want to thank you both for coming in today. Terry Gould was 50 years old 10 years ago when he received the heart of 20-year-old Chase Coleman of Millington. We've been visiting with Terry and with Chase's brother, Lon Coleman, about the Donate Life Capital celebration. They have developed an impressive bond here because of the Coleman family's generosity here. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.